We're starting at Pei Dalet Amabet. We have a lot of stories today about all sorts of situations that happened and what they paskined. So if you remember, we have this basic machloket, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon. Okay, we can look back at the Mishnah just for a quick minute. Misha meit v'hiniach isha u'bal chov v'yorshin. Okay, somebody dies, he leaves a wife, bal echov, who, right, the wife wants the ketubah money, the bal chov wants his money back, and then the yorshin. And he had a pikadon or a malveh, b'yad acherim. Right, so remember, if it's karka, they can all demand it from the karka. But if it's metaltalin, so the balchov and the woman can't demand it from metaltalin. But what if the metaltalin didn't yet go in the hands of the yorshim? So there was a milveh, b'yad acher, or a pikadon b'yad acher, and it's someone else had money of his. So Rabbi Tarfon omer yinatznu la koshel shebehen, which we saw different interpretations what that is. He's weaker. We discussed, you know, the option that seems most obvious that they didn't really bring up here. They mentioned as a possibility in the Yerushalmi that he's poor, the one who's the most poor. We talked about that he has the least proof, or maybe the woman's always the underdog because she has the ketubah, and because of Chino, we want to let her get the ketubah money more easily. So Rabbi Tarfon says, yinatnu la koshel, the Rabbi Akiva omer, ein rachamim badin, right? We have no rachmanut in the din. The yorshim are the only ones who don't have to swear to get their money back. Everyone else, in order to get money from yitomim, has to swear. Okay. Then we talked about what if hiniach perot lushim in a karka. So again, and this, even though it doesn't say so in the Mishnah, we said that Rabbi Akiva wouldn't agree with this. Rabbi Akiva would say that it also goes straight to the yorshim. But according to the Tanakhama here, it says, Kol HaKodem Bahem Zacha, which seems to be Rabbi Tarfon's opinion. Zachta Isha Yoshem, right? And then what if she took more? In other words, if it's Talush Min HaKarka and it's not in anyone's Rishut, we saw in the Gemara there was a Machloket. Does it have to be in Rishut HaRabim? Or even if it's a Simta, is it okay? Some people say if it's in a Simta, obviously it's not okay, because that's already not really a full Rishut HaRabim. Only if it's really in Rishut HaRabim, then you can say it doesn't really belong to the Yorshim yet, and whoever takes it is Zoche. Okay, so now we have this big machloket. We ended up at the case, we actually had a few cases, but one of them was the relatives of Rabbi Yochanan. I want to remind us of this, because we're going to see another case at the end of the daf about relatives of someone, and we're going to see his approach to it. So relatives of Rabbi Yochanan took a para, and then Rabbi Yochanan said, oh, it's okay, because you already took it. And then they came before Rish Lakish, and he says, you have to return it, because we hold like Rabbi Akiva, and you can't just be tofis. It goes straight to the Yorshim. Okay, so we're going to see a bunch of cases where we saw already a few yesterday that I'm not mentioning, where the approach was to hold like Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbi Tarfon. Okay, in which case, again, if you're tofis, it doesn't work, unless... We saw if you're tofes it before he died. If you had it before he died, then it's okay. Or, you know, we'll see if there's a case. Well, basically, that's the basic thing. Okay. Yativ Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Chanina, Bar Papi, Rabbi Yitzchak Nacha. They were sitting. V'yativ Rabbi Abba Gabayhu. Rabbi Abba was by them. Sorry, I skipped the first line. Okay, let's go back. Debei Nisia Tafus Amta Diyat Me Misinta. The house of the Beit HaNasi, okay, took an ama from the Yitomim when she was in a Simta. Okay? So remember, Simta, there was a bit of a disagreement about how we view it. So they were Tofes and ama. Yativ Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Yativ Rabbi Abba Gabayu. Amar Lahu, so they were sitting, and Rabbi Abba was with them, and he said to them, Shapir Tafsitua. Okay? Good that they took the Amma, that was fine, there was no problem with it. Amar Lahu, Rabbi Abba, Amar Lahu, who said Amar Lahu?
The judges.
Right, okay, fine. It should be Amru Le. Seems to be a mistake, because that seems to be what happened, because then Amar Lahu, Rabbi Abba says to them, there must be a mistake here. It must be that they said to him, because Amar Lahu is he said to them. But it really doesn't make any sense to say that. It should be, they said to him. Let me just see if see a commentary, right?
Said to the, yeah.
Right, it's the three judges. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the three judges say to him.
Well, they're a unit.
It was, right. Yeah, but still, it should be Amru. And it's also not Amar Lahu, who's Lahem. Right? Okay, anyway. They said to him, you know, good that you, oh, maybe they said to, they said to the Beit HaNasi. They must have said to the Beit HaNasi, and then I guess you're right. You could say they were a unit. But anyway, it should be Amru.
The Rashash changed it to
right. I figured somebody must have changed the Nusach. Okay. So anyway, they said, no problem that you took it. Amar lehu Rabbi Abi, here's a great line. Mishum de Beit HaNasi aninu mechanfitu lehu. Are you being machnif? Are you trying to flatter them? In other words, you're trying to just side with the Beit HaNasi because they're the Beit HaNasi. V'had don dainik Rabbi Tarfon v'had Rabbi Shlakish uvda minayu. We have this case where they judged Rabbi Tarfon, like Rabbi Tarfon. We saw this yesterday. And Rabbi Shlakish made them go back. So Yemar Barchashu. Okay, that's the end of the story. So he says, I don't know what you're doing. How could you have done this? Again, we see that they're siding like Rabbi Akiva and not like Rabbi Tarfon. That anyone who's toface, it's not good.
No, but what's worse is that somebody's accusing the court
of being partial to one side, yes. What's interesting, and I actually wanted to think about this, and that's why I started with the Rabbi Yochanan case. The same thing with Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, he was trying to help out his relatives, and he sided with them. And Rish Lakish comes, we're going to see this theme throughout a lot of these stories. Rish Lakish comes and says no, and then Rabbi Yochanan says, even though Rabbi Yochanan was really on top of Rish Lakish, he says, well, if Rish Lakish said this, I'm not going to go against him. You see this border on siding, right? He wants to side with his relatives, but he feels like it's not appropriate. Here they're trying to side with the Beit HaNasi, and comes Rabbi Abba and says it's not appropriate. There seems to be a whole thing, and I was wondering, whenever they have stories that kind of lead to something, you try to think about the connection. I was trying to think if you could somehow connect with, you know, we're learning Ketubot, and it's all about husband and wife and relationships of family, you know, and someone who wants to be mochel. I mean, the topic of the parak was being mochel to your wife on her nechassim, and did he really mean it? Did he not? And you could try to think about maybe there's some connection between how much we can, you know, take the fact that they're related and how does that factor into things? I know, it's something worth thinking about further. It's just right now beginning of thoughts in my head. Yema Barchashu have a matik bezuze bahu gavra. Okay, he was he owed money to somebody. Shachi Vishavik Arba. Bahu Gavra. Shachi Vishavik Arba. He sent him one second. Yema, I always think we use this lashon of Masik Bezuze, who's got the money out on who? One second. Someone owed him money. Okay. Someone owed Yemar Barchashu money, and the guy died and left a boat. That's what it is. Okay? So the guy dies and leaves a boat. And his, you know, one of the things he left was a boat. Metalzel. Amarle l'shluche zil tafsani alei. He sends his shaliach to go grab the boat. This is a very interesting story how it develops. So he sends a shaliach to go get the boat for him. Azal tafsa. He goes, the shaliach goes, and he takes the boat. Pagube, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Bered, Rav Yoshua. Okay, you'll see it wasn't coincidental that Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Bered, Rav Yoshua happened to bump into him. Why did they bump into him? I'll already be makdim atamuchar. They also were owed money by this guy, and they were also trying to take the boat. Okay? Amrule, you are what's considered someone who is tofes for a Baal Chov in a place where other people are owed money by him. What does this mean? And we'll see in 1 minute. Let's just read on and then I'll explain. Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said about someone like you, Hatofes Baal Chov b'mkom shachav la'acherim lo kana. Okay, what does this mean? In general, somebody sends a shaliach, he functions like the person himself. However, this is a unique situation where generally we say, why? Zachim la'adam shalo b'fanav. This is concept. You can do something good for someone, even if he's not there. But, although here it's a little different because that's usually if he doesn't ask you to do it. Here he dafka asked him to do it. But there's a concept here that you can't benefit someone if there's other people who are now going to lose out because of this, right? If this guy only had this boat left, right? And that was the only thing that was up for grabs, and he takes this for someone else, it's almost like you're going to be lazy and sit in your house and send someone else to do your dirty work. But in the end, if you send someone else, he can't take this for you if there's other people who also owe money, okay? Because he's now doing it to the detriment of other people. And I think it comes from this concept of, oh, you're just going to sit in your house and, you know, just send someone to do it for you.
Maybe a sick invalid, maybe.
Well, right, that's true. But
so that's not a good
right, it's not a good enough explanation.
But if you said that he's one step further away than those that are directly owed, then maybe that would be more acceptable.
Mm-hmm. So they say that it's based on the zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav, but I don't know why you can't just say shlucho shel adam kamoto, because zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav, we generally say when someone doesn't ask you to do it. Here he asked him to do it. So he said amar le l'shluchei. So I don't know 100%. Let me just see. Right, they say it's but it's only in the case where the guy doesn't have enough money to go around. Now, if he has enough money to go around, it's no problem at all. But right, so Rashi says that this is only interesting. Okay, this answers my question. So Rashi says that it's only when he didn't send him that this would be the case, which would make sense. Then it's zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav, and then it would only work if he's not chav la'achirin. But if he was minauto, then right. But most of the Rishonim disagree. But it sounds right. Rashi seems to be more logical according to what we're saying. Okay. So the other Rishonim just think that the Torah doesn't give power to a shaliach, because a shaliach works only so much so as he doesn't disadvantage others. Okay. And you're right. In certain cases, you know, it's impossible to go, and you have no choice. But in this case, you'd lose out, basically, if you were sick and you couldn't do it yourself. So anyway, they say to him, you have no rights to be here. Get out of here. So the guy leaves, and what happens? Rav Papa and Rav Huna and Rav Yeshua try to be Tophis the vote. So what happens, though? This is like Shnayim Ochazim B'Tali, right? Zeomer Ani Mitzatia, Zeomer Ani Mitzatia. Same thing happens here. Rav Papa, Mimlach Maluche, he basically goes and starts oaring the boat, you know, steering the boat with an oar. Rav Huna Bridge, Rav Yeshua, Mematech Laba Ashla, he's on the ground and he starts pulling it with a rope to try to do Mashicha. You know, each one is doing their own Kenyan. Mar Amar, right? It's funny to think about these big rabbis as like fighting over this money. Mar Amar, Ana Kanina Le Lekule. Mar Amar, Ana Kanina Le Lekule. Okay, it's just like Shnayim Ochazim B'Tali, right? They say, I totally got it, and he says, I totally got it. Pagabahu Rav Pinchas Bar Ami. Pinchas Bar Ami shows up. Amar Lehu, Rav Shmuel Da Amar Chervayu. Why? He says, what are you doing here? How can you even be fighting over this? Rav and Shmuel both said, V'hu shetzvurinu munachim b'rishud harabim. It only works if it's in Rishud harabim, not if it's, you know, b'simta or something like this. And this boat is not b'rishud harabim. So Amar Lehu, they say, what are you talking about? It's not b'rishud harabim. Ana Nami, Macharifuta dinahara tafsina noto. We took it from the middle of the water, like the center of the water. You can't say it was like in a. It was docked in some, you know, simta or something. It was in the middle of the water, and therefore we were allowed to do it. So now they still have their argument because they were allowed to be tofes because it was in the middle of the water, and now ad to the kamei de rava, amar lehu kake chivre mishalchi glima de inshe. What does that mean? So kake seems to be a vazim or a geese or something like that. Mm-hmm. White geese, okay, which in brachot, if you remember, there were all these things about if you see this in your dream, it's a siman of this. So it's a siman of chokhmah and zikna. The white is zikna and the geese are chokhmah. So zkenim who are chachamim are meshachi glima de inshe. They're taking away clothes of other people. In other words, you have absolutely no rights to this stuff because this stuff belongs to, right? Belongs to who? The Yatomim, right? You have no rights to this. We hold like Rabbi Akiva. What are you doing? Okay, we hold like Rabbi Akiva, in which case the Yatomim were zakkaya everything. Hachem Rav Nachman, behu shetpasa mechayim. Okay, so now they say that it's only...
It works if the father's alive.
Right. He's saying, right, this is the continuation of what Rav is saying to them. He's saying, how could you're basically stealing the clothes off of these Yatomim? Because this is what Rav Nachman said, that it's only if you took him when he was still alive, you got confused, you thought you were allowed to be Tophis. No, only if you were Tophis when the guy was alive, but certainly once he dies, it goes straight to the Yatomim and you have no rights. Okay. Next story. Avimi Burei de Rabbi Abbahu. So again, right, just to summarize, we see again this concept of Rabbi Akiva, we hold like him. However, what's interesting about all these stories is you see that it wasn't so clear to everybody who we paskin like, right? Because there's so many stories here. Avimi Burei de Rabbi Abbahu, Havamaska Bezuze Bechozai. Okay, he owed money to someone in Bechozai. Remember, we saw this is this place that he had to be motzi 600 zuz to get there. It was so far away. Anyway, that's not the relevance. In this story, he had money in Bechozai. Shadrinu biyad Chama b'rei de Rabba Bar Avahu. He sends the money in the hands of Chama, the son of Rabba Bar Avahu. Also per'inu, he pays back the money. Amar lehu, and then he says to the people who he paid the money back to, Havali shtara, give me back the shtar now that says I owe you money. Because, right, that was always what happened. You had a loan out, you gave back the money, and the guy gives you the shtar, because otherwise what will happen? He'll keep the shtar, and he'll claim you haven't paid it back. So he says, give me the shtar. This is also a really interesting story. Amrule, sitrai ninhu. What are you talking about? The money you just paid me was for some other loan we had out from some other, like, side place. Like, you owe money to someone, you owe money to me. Like, some... It's unclear exactly what this means, but...
A second loan to me, but a loan to
it was some loan, or Rashi says it could be it was a milva al peh, because it wasn't a loan that we had a shtar for, and that's what you pay me back for, or for somehow you owe me money through some other route, but not for this loan. So I'm not giving you the shtar back. Okay. So now we have a few problems, right? Number one, right, he thinks he paid for the shtar. Number two, here the shaliach, what's wrong? The shaliach really messed up. What should the shaliach have done? He should have said, give me the shtar and I'll give you the money, yeah. Right? So because at this point, the money is in the hands already, he returned it, and now that guy has a claim. And what was the second problem? There's no witnesses, okay? So now we're going to see. Atza the kameh de Rabbi Abbahu. They go before Rabbi Abbahu. Amarle it le sadeh de paratinu. Do you have any witnesses that show that you pay back the money? Amarle lo. Okay, that's mistake number one. He didn't do it with witnesses. The shliach returned it without having any witnesses there. Amarle, well, if you don't have witnesses, then what can happen? Migo, we're going to have a migo here, okay? Migo di yecholin lomar lo hayu dvarim me'olam. Since you have no witnesses, the guy who you pay back could just claim what? You never paid me back. This never happened. Okay? Because he could claim that and he doesn't, right? Yecholim lame lameimar, sitrai ninhu. In other words, that's how amigo works. If this guy's going to say, you paid me back, but it was for something else, then he's believed because he could have made a better claim, which is you never paid me back at all. So number one, you didn't get witnesses, and therefore now, you know, you can't prove he has a migo now because of that. And had they had witnesses, the migo wouldn't have worked, right? Then they wouldn't have been believed. But since they have a migo, now they're believed. And in addition, he should have just taken the shtar, because if he had taken the shtar from the beginning, before he gave the money, he'd say, give me the shtar and I'll pay you the money. Okay? That's what he should have done. So now the Gemara asks him, so in the end, what happens? Nothing, right?
No, he can't. One second. He did actually have a witness because he sent him with a shaliach.
No, the shaliach. What do you mean? The shaliach was...
The debtor gave the money to the shaliach and he brought it back to the person.
Yeah, but who's the witness? The shaliach? He can't be a witness.
He's not a witness.
You need two witnesses.
Two people know it.
No, but no, but they're the two people who are no geir b'davar. You need two witnesses to see it who could come to court and claim. Neither of them can come claim.
It's right. They're right, except it still seems unfair because...
It's very unfair.
Telling the story that he actually did it.
Right, right. So... It's a very unfair story, but halachically, emalasot, okay? So now, what's the issue? So the guy loses his money, basically, or the, you know, the shtar ends up in their hands, which means they can claim it back. Le'inyan shlume shaliach mai. But does the shaliach have to pay the money now? In other words, does he have to compensate the owner, right, the original guy, because he made a mistake? Amrav Ashi chazinan I amrale shkol shtar avahav zuze mishalim. Hav zuze shkol shtara lo mishalim. We figure out, now this is a little difficult to go back and figure out, but if we can figure out, if we can determine what the guy told him to do. Was the guy particular in how he said it? Did he say, get my shtar and pay the money? Or did he say, pay the money and get my shtar? If he said, pay the money and get my shtar, then in the end, right, he was just doing what he told him. Okay? I had this issue once. We did shiputzim in the house, and the architect didn't write things properly, and the builder didn't build things properly, and we claimed it was the builder's fault, and the builder said, well, that's what the architect told me to do. You know, basically saying, like, I didn't use my brain. In other words, yeah, it was a stupid idea, but the architect said to do it, so I did it the way the architect said. That's what the plan said. It's like Rosh Katan. So that's what this guy's saying. If the guy didn't tell the shliach to do it that way, well, the shliach just did it exactly how he told him, even though it was a bad plan. You know, he should have been smart enough to say, but they're saying it's not his fault that he didn't think, right? He's Rosh Katan, that's fine. No problem with that. But now we're going to see the Gemara doesn't like that. Gemara likes Rosh Gadol, Velohi. Ben kach ben kach mashalim. Why? Damar le litikune shadar ticha velo lavute. Okay? In other words, I sent you to resolve this issue. I didn't send you to mess it up for me. I sent you to pay back money. You should have done it in a proper way, just like I could tell the builder. I told you to build things properly, right? I didn't tell you to just follow blindly whatever the architect said. I told you to use your brain. That's why I hired you, right? It's the same thing. He hired him to do it right, not to mess him up. So basically, the Gemara sides on the side of the original guy, and that the shliach is really at fault, which sort of goes in the line of ein shliach lidvar avera. Also, the same concept of if you're going to be a shliach of someone, don't say, "Oh, well, he told me to do it," and be blind about it. You have to be responsible. Hayi itita dehavu mipakte gabat meloga deshtare. Somebody gave her a pikadon to watch over all these shtarot. Okay, a pile of shtarot. Meloga is like a pile, a bundle. They give her a bundle of shtarot to watch. Now, atu yorshim katavi lemina. The yorshim come and say, okay, we want these shtarot back. These were our father's shtarot, so give them back to me. Amrale mechaim tafisna lehu. No, yeah, I was watching them as a pikadon, but then I took them because he owed me money. And these are mine now. And I did it when he was still alive. You follow? Because remember, if she took them when he was still alive, it's fine. If she took them once he died, it's not fine. So onto the kamedra of Nachman. They come before of Nachman. Amarle, he says to her, "Eat lachsade de tefaua minech mechayim, velo yahavit niale." Do you have witnesses that can say that he came to get this from you when you were still, right? He came to get back his pikadon, and you said, "No, I'm keeping this because you owe me money." Do you have witnesses? So what do we say? Well, obviously, she's not going to have witnesses, right? Amale lo. Im came. What do they say? Havi tfisa del acharmito. Tfisa del acharmito lo klumhi. Okay? In which case, if you can't provide proof, since, you know, originally it was given to you as a pikadon, and you have no proof otherwise, then basically we can only assume that you were taking this after death. The burden of proof lies on you, basically. Hahu itita di'ichai v'shvua be'dina derava. A woman was mechayev shvua in the house of in the Beit Din of Rava. What does this mean? She was mechayev shvua. Generally, we have a case where someone says you owe me money, and she says I don't owe you anything, and we have eid echad. Okay, we've learned that eid echad isn't good in a lot of cases, except for right. We learned where eid echad would work if to say a husband's dead, right? If he went abroad, things like that. Mishum iguna. Another thing that eid echad works is to be mechayev shvua. Okay, which means that if someone says you owe me money and you say I don't owe you anything, so you can take a shvua. If Eid Echad says you owe the money, then we make you take a shvua in order not to pay it back. Okay, so generally, what we the person who takes the shvua is the one who says I don't owe you anything. Okay, generally, what we do is we allow her to take the shvua to say I don't owe you anything, rather than the person who's trying to demand the money from her. He's not allowed to take a shvua and say, you owe me money. I swear you owe me money. She's the one who's allowed to take the shvua to say, I don't owe you anything, and then she becomes patur. Okay, obviously, if she's willing to take the shvua. So now, this woman came before Rava to take the shvua to say, I don't owe you anything. Amrale bat Rav Chista, who was married to Rava. Okay, here we're going to see again. That's why I said I want to point out the whole relationship thing. It's really interesting because all over the daf it comes up. So she's mechayev shvua in the Beit Din of Rava. So Bat Rav Chista, his wife, comes and tells him, Yad anaba de chashuda ashvua. I've heard this woman swear falsely many times. I know she's chashuda al ashvua. Okay? Don't trust her. Okay? She's a liar. Ab charav l'shvua ashekinegda. So in this case, Rava flipped it, and he said, even though normally you can take a shvua to be pater, we're going to flip it and let the guy who wants to take money from you say, I'm going to swear that you owe me money and then demand the money. Zimnin havu yadve kame de Rav Papa, Rav Ada bar Matna. So in another case now, they came before Rav Papa and Rav Ada bar Matna, Rav Papa and Rav Ada bar Matna were sat before Rava. Aitua hu shtara gabe, a shtar comes up before him. Amale Rav Papa yadana be de shtara priyahu. Rav Papa says, I know that this shtar was paid back already. Amarle, Ika inish achrina bahade demar. Is there someone else who can confirm this? Because we need two witnesses. Amarle lo. This is no. I'm the only one who knows, but I know that the shtar was paid back. Amarle. Now you have to remember who this is. This is Rav Papa who says it, right? You would assume Rav Papa. You would assume he's a right from what you know of Rav Papa. Would you say he was an honest guy?
Yeah.
The kind of guy you would believe, right? So Amarle afagav di ikamar. Even though you're saying this, Rav Papa, Eid Echad Lav Klumhu. You're just Eid Echad. So Amar Le Rav Ada Bar Matna, the other guy was with him, V'lo Yehei Rav Papa Kibat Rav Chista? Right? I don't understand. Your wife, right here, he's trying to get into, right? You were partial to your wife. Your wife, you believed, as if she was two witnesses to, basically, now it's a little different, the situations, but basically you believed your wife to discredit this witness, this Baal, right, the woman, and flip the shvua to the other side and let the guy, you know, swear that she owed him money and demand money from her. But in this case, you're not going to believe Rav Papa? Like, how is that? Like, isn't he a believable guy? So what does he answer? Bat Rav Chista kimle begava? Mar lo kimle begava? I know Bat Rav Chista well, and I know she would never lie. But honestly, I don't know about your Rav Papa. Like, I don't know you in that way. So I can't verify, right? There's a very dangerous, thing to be walking on. If you start saying, well, if you believe someone, it's crazy, right? You can believe someone. We generally say Eid Echad isn't acceptable, but yet he's saying, if I know 100% that this person would never lie, then I'm going to believe them. Which is crazy, right? But then he says, Rav Papa, I don't know you like that. So now Rav Papa takes it one step further. Amar Rav Papa, Hashta da Amar Mar, and here you see, and maybe this also is part of the theme here that we're going to see a bunch of times. Maybe either you say this is good, like he learned from this, or maybe you say it's a little bit treading on, shaky water. It's in here, it's a slippery slope. In other words, once you say that, so Rav Papa's going to come to other conclusions, other people might come to other conclusions. So I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. Amar Rav Papa, Hashta da Amar Mar, Kimle Bikavei, Miltahi, if he says, since I know this person really well, that counts. So he says, Kigon Abba Mari Bere, like my son, Abba Mar, my son, Dekimle Bigave, that I know him really well, that I would never, right, I know he would never lie. Kranashtara Apume, Dekimle Bigave, Karanashtara Apume Karanashtara Apume, thank you. I would rip a shtar based on his apumeis from his mouth, based on his testimony. So if my son said, like I said, basically, I would then be able to rip a shtar based on his testimony. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Karana Salkanata. You're comparing two different things. One was to flip a shvua, right? It's not saying he took money out of someone's hands. He just said, you have the right to take a shvua. And now you're going to rip up a shtar. It's not exactly the same thing. How could you possibly rip up a shtar? You have evidence of a shtar. Just because the guy's honest doesn't mean, we're going to rip a shtar. Ela marana shtar apume. I'm going to use his testimony to weaken the shtar. Okay, so that if there's other things working against it, we can maybe combine them, but only to weaken it, not to actually rip it up. Hahi itata diichayv shvua beidina derabibi bar abaye. Okay, another case where a woman was chayv shvua. Amar lehu hahu baldin teite v'tishpa b'mata. They said the baldin said, "Come and swear in the city." Efshar de mikaspa umodaya. What happened? They wanted her to swear in the city where everyone would see. They were hoping that she would admit that she was lying, basically. Okay? Because they didn't believe her. They thought she was lying, and they figured if she makes a shvua in public, but where everyone, then she'll know that there's people there who know that she's lying, and she won't lie. Amra le, kitfu li zachvata. I'll swear in the city, but first I want you to write me a shtar zchut, like a shtar that's going to verify what I'm saying. Okay? Dechi mishtabana yahaveli. And then as soon as I swear, you're going to give it to me. Amar lehu rabibi barabaya kitvula. They were trying to get this woman to swear because they thought that by getting her to swear, they basically get her to fess up. So What did they say? She says, listen, I'm only going to swear if you already write the shtar that hands me over, you know, that potters me from paying this money. Okay? So write the shtar and then give it to me after I swear. So Bibi Baraya says, no problem, write it to her. So now we're going to get into a totally different issue. Amalei Rav Papi, Mishum de atitu mimulai amaritu mile muliata. Because you come, this we've seen this before, from a family who's cut off, he's from the family of Eli, okay? Remember, Eli HaKohen, he had this family that they were all going to die young. That was the curse they got. So because you come from a family of Mekuta'im, you said Davar Mekuta, you said something that was cut off. That's ridiculous what you just did, Rabibi, because how could you write this shtar? Ha'amarava, hai ashrata d'dayne, d'michtava mekame, d'nach busade achatimot yadayu, psula. If the Dayanim write something before the Edim sign it, and it's before, how could you write a document before you know what's going to be? You don't know if she's going to swear in the end. You don't know if she's owed the money. So you can't, basically, what's this saying? In other words, you can't have like a tofes, right? That's blank that you sign after the fact. You have to basically write it and sign it at the moment. Once you know the facts, you can't start writing, this woman doesn't owe money to that man unless you really know that that's true. Otherwise, it's a false shtar. That's what Rava says. Alma mirse kishikra, right? It looks like you're writing lies. So hachanami mirse kishikra, okay? Just like you can't write an ashrata d'dayane, like a verification of the dayanim before the edim sign, the same way you can't do this. The ashrata d'dayane, if you have a document and that's signed by witnesses, we've seen this before, that you don't know necessarily the witness's signatures are good and it's not a forged document. So the Beit Din will give like a stamp and say, this is good. So the Beit Din can't write the document that says, we verify this is good, until they know that it's already good, until they've checked out the witness's signatures. So likewise here, they also can't do the same thing, unless you really know. So then they say, v'leita midrav Nachman, in other words, don't we hold... Right, they say, this isn't right, because he's ignoring what Rav Nachman said. That's, yes, it's true that Rava says this, but Da'amar Rav Nachman, Omer Haya Rabbi Meir, Afilo Mitzao Ba'ashpa B'chatmu V'natznula Kasher. Rabbi Meir says that if you find a get in a garbage dump, okay, somebody wrote a get but never gave it, and it happens to be that it's the same name, you have the husband's name is the same and the wife's name is the same, you can take it and give it to her. V'afilo Rabbana Lo Plige Leit Rabbi Meir. Now, this is very famous. Rabbanan disagree with this, because a shtar has to be written, why? A get has to be written, lishma, his name and her name. So Chachamim disagree. But they're only pligele to Rabbi Meir, ela b'gite nashim, d'b'ina k'tiva lishma. Because of the unique halacha of get that needs to have k'tiva lishma, this wouldn't work. Aval b'shar shtarot motule. But in all other shtarot, it would be fine. How do we know this also? Da'amar of Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, shtar shalava ba'u pra'o, Eino chozer velo vebo, shekvar nimchal shiyu abudo. If you lend money to someone, and then he pays back the money, and then you take out a new loan, you can't reuse that document. Why? Because that document has a date on it. And remember, what do we say about a halva'ah that's written, halva'ah b'shtar, that you can, the malva can demand the money from anyone who you sold property to from the date of the shtar. So if you now take this shtar and reuse it, the shibud is going to be from the early date and not from the later date. So it's wrong. But notice what it says. It's tam adinim chashi abudo. Aval lemichzei kashikwa lo cheshinam. But we're not worried that it's going to look like a sheker, because it's going to look like you took out, you wrote this document before the edim signed. Okay, so because of that, we see that we're not worried about this michzei kashikwa. Okay. Now we're going to see a few cases. The most of this stuff is going to take us about 2 minutes. It's cases that are very, very similar. The same exact structure, just a different item. Okay? Hahu gavra.
Before you go on, if it's going to go really quickly. Yeah. But how could Rabbi, who was it, Rabbi Meir?
Yeah. Which one?
Rabbi Yochanan? No, Rabbi.
Sorry.
Rabbi Nachman, who said that a get that he found in the garbage
would work. According to Rabbi Meir. Right. How does Rabbi Meir deal with Ketiva Lishma? Why does he not think it needs ketiva lishma? I forget the whole machloket there. I've learned this before, but I don't remember. But we'll get to it when we get to Gittin. I forget what he holds. I think he holds that even if the ketiva was a lishma, but when you sign it as lishma, I think it's okay. I think that's his approach. I forget. We'll get to it when we get there. I don't remember exactly. Hahu gavra de'afkid shav marganita de'tzayre bestine. Okay, he had shav is right, sheva, I thought so. He had seven margaliot that were wrapped up in a sheet. Okay, they were wrapped up together. Beirav miyasha bar beirav. Okay, so this guy gave a bundle of pearls to Rav Miyasha, the son of Rav Yeshua bar Levi, as a pikadon. Shachiv Rav Miyasha velo pakid. He dies, but he doesn't tell anybody who this, you know, who belonged to, what the story was of it. So now, obviously, what's going to happen? His Yorshim are going to say, oh, it's his, right? And some guy's going to claim, oh, it's mine. Atu the kamej Rabbi Ami. Amar le, chada, number one, diadana be Rabbi Mishaya barbarei de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi de lo amid. We know that he wasn't wealthy. In other words, what's the issue? What's the difference if he's wealthy? Maybe he had these stored up somewhere, you know, saving them for a rainy day. But what's the issue here? It seems like we know that the guy gave it to him as a pikadon, just like with that woman in the pikadon, and then she claims, well, I was toe-faced, the shtarot, you know, and as, yes, he gave me as a pikadon, but then I took it. Maybe Rabbi Miyasha bought it off the guy at some point. But since we know that he wasn't wealthy, there's no way that he would have bought it off this guy. Okay, that's what he's basically saying. Okay, so number one, we know he wasn't wealthy, and therefore it can't be that he bought this stuff. Ve'od hakayav simana. The guy brought a siman that these were his. So we know that he's the guy who gave the pikadon. So number one, we know he gave a pikadon. Number two, we know that it's not likely that the guy bought it off of him because he doesn't have money. Okay, this is going to be the case in all of the few cases, the cases we're going to see. But now the Gemara is going to say, V'lo amaran ela delo ragil da'ayal v'nafik lahatam. It's only if the guy who brings the simanim wasn't ragil to go in and out of the house. Aval ragil da'ayal v'nafik lahatam, ema inish achrina afkid. V'iu mechzachaze. It could be someone else brought the pikadon, and he just, you know, knew the object because he had seen it before because he came into the house often, and therefore gave simanim. And giving simanim is a tricky thing. Right? Because just because he gives simanim doesn't mean he's the owner of it. So if he never came in the house or didn't often frequent the house, then we can assume that he wouldn't have necessarily seen these pearls and would be able to give a siman, and therefore we trust him. But if not, we don't trust him, and therefore we can't necessarily give it to him. And then in the end, the Yorshim end up with it just by default. Now, we know that somebody gave it to him as a pikadon, and we know he didn't buy it, but we don't know who else it belongs to, so it's just going to stay in their property until someone brings a good proof. Okay. Okay, so now a guy gives a silver cup, bechasa, to chasa. Shachit chasa, velo pakid. Chasa dies and he doesn't tell anybody about this. By the way, I saw in the Mefarshim that chasa, that comes up in the Gemara somewhere else, that he died. Yeah, Rashi says it. Shetava benahar. Okay, in Yuvamot, actually. I don't even remember that. Apparently, we learned this in Yuvamot, the chasa drowned. I don't remember the context. Maybe it was one of the cases of, must have been one of the cases, yeah, it's in Kuf Chaf Aleph, I'm a bet. It must be one of the cases where he disappears, and we, you know, we need Eid Echad to prove he was dead. So anyway, now we can understand why he didn't tell anybody what to do about this. He wasn't planning to die. Atu l'kamej Rav Nachman, Amar l'hu yadana be'bachasa de lo amid. Okay, we know that he wasn't wealthy. V'od ha'kayav simana, same exact thing. Okay, we know he wasn't wealthy, and the other guy brought a siman. And again, the Gemara says, V'lo amaran ela delo ragil da'al v'napik lahatam. Aval ragil da'al v'napik lahatam, emar inish achmine afkid. Okay, we can assume someone else did it. V'iyu michzachaza. Okay, so only if he wasn't ragil to come there, we believe his simanim. Third case. Hahu da'afkid mitachza be ravdimi achva de'rav safra. Okay, they gave him silk clothing. Shachiv ravdimi v'lo pakid. He dies and he doesn't tell them what to do with it. Okay, same exact thing. Okay, now we're going to get to a different case. Hahu de Amarla, but it's a similar theme, which is we don't know exactly what the dead guy meant. Okay, when he was still alive. Here in the other cases, he didn't say anything, and therefore we have no idea. In this case, we're going to see he said something, but we don't necessarily know who he meant by it. Hahuda amala le nichsayai letuvia. I want all my money to go to Tuvia. But he doesn't say which Tuvia, okay? So Shachiv, he dies. Anta Tuvia. Tuvia shows up, a guy named Tuvia, and he says, he promised me his money. Am Rabbi Yochanan, hare bat Tuvia. This must be the Tuvia. Okay, we can give it to him. We can assume that he was the Tuvia he was referring to. Amar Tuvia, what if he said Tuvia? Va'ata Rav Tuvia. But a Rav Tuvia shows up and not a Tuvia, a Stam Tuvia. Okay, right? This is on the working assumption that nobody would dare call a Rav by his first name. So what do they say? L'tuvia amar, l'rav tuvia lo amar. Okay? But what do they say? It depends. V'inish degispe hagispe. If it's someone he was very, very close with, then you can assume that he called him Tuvia instead of Rav Tuvia. But otherwise, you had to assume that he would only call him Rav Tuvia, and therefore must not be the Tuvia he was referring to.
Yeah, now we know why we have two dotsuhut.
Right, exactly, to solve these issues. Or last names, for that right, for that matter, instead of calling someone, you know, by his name of his city. That really helps, right? Okay. Shnei Tuvia. What if there's two Tuvias? One's a Shachen, and one's a Talmid Chacham. Okay? Now, Shachen, here they don't mean just a neighbor. They mean he was someone he was very friendly with, okay? Like a neighbor he had a good relationship with. Talmid Chacham Kodem Kodem, okay? The Talmid Chacham gets the Yerusha and not the Shachin. Okay, now the assumption here is based on this assumption, again, there's different interpretations, but we'll go with one, that people generally like to give their money to Talmidei Chachamim, okay? And therefore, it's more likely, if we have to try to figure out what was he intending, that his intent was to give it to the Talmid Chacham. Okay, there's two ways of approaching this, really. One is it important, really the way of looking at this is, are we trying to figure out what his intent was and try to do what the mate wanted? Or do we say we have no clue what the mate intended and therefore we're just going to do what we think is best? In which case, we'd rather give it to a Talmid Chacham. That's a different approach. There's two different approaches of how to take it. Is it that we can assume he would have better, you know, people like to give their money to Talmidei Chachamim? Or is it just, that's what we're going to do? And that works on the principle also, we're going to see this soon, about Hefker Beit Din Hefker. That the Beit Din has the rights to take money from someone and give it to someone else randomly. So in this case, since we don't know, we're going to basically just randomly give it to one of the people. You know, and then again, it's not random, it has some logic to it, but they have the rights to do that. Okay, now we're going to have a whole hierarchy. So Talmid Chacham Kodem. Karov Talmid Chacham, what if it's a relative in a Talmid Chacham, right? What would you think?
Does it depend what relative?
So you might think the relative would get it, but the Gemara says Talmid Chacham Kodem. Talmid Chacham goes first. Okay,
wait,
now this could be... Yeah.
A Yoresh is a relative that has an immediate connection to the Yerusha.
Whereas a Karov has less of a connection.
Doesn't.
Right.
Doesn't at all, I guess.
Right. So the question is, there was a bit of a discussion here. What exactly is going on here? Because shouldn't the Karov get the Yerusha? So we're going to see in a set, right? So then, the Mefarshim said 1 second that. Right. Now, the point is, because he said it's for Tuvia. We're still talking about a case where he said it's for Tuvia. And there's one Tuvia that's a relative and one Tuvia that's a Talmid Chacham. It's not general Yerusha, right? So then, because he specifically said, I want it to go to someone else. So again, you know, do we assume, so the Rivan explains that we assume that he'd rather benefit a Talmid Chacham. That's one way of looking at it, okay? Ibai lehu shachen v'karov mai. What if it's a shachen and a karov? Tashma. Okay, here's a pasuk from Mishlei. Tov shachin karov me'ach rachov. Right, this goes against what we generally say. Right, people always say family is everything, and even a family that's, you know, in the end is going to be there for you. But this really says the opposite. The better off to have a good friend than a distant relative. Shnehem krovim u'shnehem shchenim u'shnehem chachamim. Okay, what if both were krovim or both were shchenim or both were chachamim? Then shudid dayin. Okay, now shudid d'dayanim, there's all different interpretations. This goes back to what I was saying before. Do we say that the dayanim come in and try to figure out? One approach is to say the dayanim try to figure out what did this guy intend. They try to ask his, you know, people who know him. They try to figure out what exactly did he intend. The other approach is to say no. It's that because of hefker beit din hefker, the beit din just comes in and you know, right? They can just decide what they want to do with it. For today. The next thing really starts up the next section, so we'll stop here.